So this morning we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you turn there please in your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Great passage from the Lord about Him grounding us in our faith. And we all need more of this as God's children to be grounded in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So beginning there in verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So God wants to establish us. So the title of our message is "Establish You." Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom and your presence and your power through your word as we go to it together this morning. May the Holy Spirit speak to each of our hearts in a personal and powerful way. May we leave changed, Lord, and more like our Savior Jesus Christ. Have your will and way in every heart, Lord, for someone in our service that's not yet born again. May they realize that Jesus died and rose again for their sins and offers them eternal life as a gift if they will but repent and trust Him. And I pray you'll work in those hearts as well. So have your will and way in this time in your word. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the Bible tells us that God has done a lot for us so that He might establish us in our faith. And notice it starts there in verse 16 by saying, "Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and given us." You've heard me say this enough times, but love is action. Love is what we do. It's one thing to say, "I love someone." It's another thing to love someone through what you do. God loved us so much that He did something for us. He gave us of Himself. But then He also has given us these other things we'll discuss later. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that He gave." He gave. Love was displayed through what God did. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." And you see this over and over in the Scriptures. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself." And so God loved us so much that He gave Himself for us at Calvary, rose again and offers us eternal life. But once we are saved, look at all these things that God promises to do for us. He starts there in verse 16 with everlasting consolation. God so loved us that He hath given us everlasting consolation. Now, that word consolation is also often translated as comfort. They're basically the same thing, but God is there for us. And God actually gave Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost the name Comforter. You know, when Jesus was sharing that with the disciples, He said, "When I leave, I will send the Comforter in my name, who will guide you into all truth." God is the great Comforter. If you go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, we'll see this. But God gives us this everlasting consolation. You say, "Oh, well, I don't really need any consolation." Well, you will. Because the Bible says that many of the afflictions of the righteous, we're all going to suffer loss. We're all going to suffer pain. That's part of being a Christian. Part of fighting the battle against this world and against the devil and against the flesh. And we're all going to lose loved ones. It's just part of life, isn't it? And when those times come, God is there for us. Notice 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Verse 5. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ." God refers to Himself here as the God of all comfort. God comforts, God consoles us when we go through painful times, when we lose someone. And God has promised us not just consolation, but everlasting consolation. Imagine. You know, the Bible teaches that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes when we get to heaven, in the book of Revelation. I've heard people say, "Oh, there's no crying in heaven." Well, there isn't in the long term, but it looks like there might initially be. Because otherwise, why would God need to wipe our tears away? And I'm sure those will be tears primarily of regret of what we could have done for God and didn't, which we can't change. But God will wipe those tears away and continue that everlasting consolation. But while we're here on earth, and as we go through things, as we suffer trials and losses, God is there for us. Go to Romans 15 and we'll see that God also not only uses Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost, but He also uses His Word to comfort us. Notice Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Notice the Bible says, the comfort of the Scriptures. What could be more comforting than opening God's Word, especially to the Psalms, when you're hurting? There's so much power there. There's so much comfort and consolation there. And so our God, who loved us so much that He died and rose again for us, gives us this everlasting consolation. Now moving on, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, it also says, and good hope. Good hope. Now a Christian's hope, the word hope there is not in the sense of it might happen. It's the sense in that it's a done deal. That's what he means when he says a good hope. If you go to Romans 15, this time in verse 13, the Bible says that God refers to himself not only as the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians 1, but here in Romans 15, he refers to himself as the God of hope. Look at Romans 15, verse 13. The Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." We have hope. We have the greatest hope in the universe, and that is heaven's our home. Our sins are forgiven. We're going to spend forever with the Lord if we're born again. You can't do any better than that. You know, even in discussing the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, God goes on to describe the rapture, and he says at the very end, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." This great hope that we have. Because later, earlier in the passage, it says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Talking about the unsaved, they don't have any hope. But we have a sealed hope through the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that we will spend forever with Him. Go to 1 Peter 1, please, and we'll see more about this. But our God, who loves us so much that He gave Himself for us, offers us eternal, everlasting consolation, and He offers us good hope. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He goes on to describe an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. But he calls it a lively hope. That's what we have. We have a good hope through our Lord that heaven is our home, that our sins are forgiven, and that we'll spend forever with Him. Moving on, 2 Thessalonians 2, the God who loved us so much, He not only gives us everlasting consolation and good hope, but it says there in verse 16, through grace. Through grace. Where would we be without the grace of the Lord? Most of us know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." If it wasn't for God's grace, we wouldn't even have salvation. But after we're saved, God is always there. He tells us in James 4, 6, He giveth more grace. And so when we go through those tough times, when we need God's strength and help in certain situations, there's always more grace available than we could ever ask for. Because our God is a God of grace. And it was His grace that led Him to save us. But His grace is always there to guide and strengthen and help us as well. And it never hurts to just keep praying for more grace from the Lord, because we need it. So God offers us eternal consolation, good hope through grace. Notice verse 17 of our passage. He says, "Comfort your hearts." Again, God is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Comforter. But God does all of this, verse 17, that He might establish us. See, God left us here for a reason. Heaven is sealed for us if we're born again. We're going to heaven. There's nothing the devil can do about that. So why does God leave us behind to fight the devil, to fight the world, to fight the flesh? Why not just take us to heaven so we don't have to go through these battles? Well, mostly because there's others that need to hear about Jesus. You know, as we've been studying through Acts, we've noticed how God uses people to share His gospel with others. We looked in chapter 8 of Acts just recently, and here's a man reading God's word, the Ethiopian eunuch in Isaiah. He doesn't know what he's reading. He doesn't understand it. What does God do? He takes one of the first deacons, Philip, and he sends him into the desert just to witness to that one man. And then we get to chapter 9, and God shines a light from heaven on a man named Saul. But He doesn't say, Saul, here's how you get saved, and here's what I want from you. He says, I want you to go and find another guy, Ananias, and he'll tell you what to do. And then in the next chapter, we see him coming down and telling Cornelius, I hear you seeking me, and I'm going to answer what you've been asking. You're going to find me. And then he goes over and he tells Peter, I want you to go and I want you to witness to this guy. God uses people. God leaves us behind to tell others what He did for us. But what He wants is that we would be established in every good word and work. In other words, we'd be grounded. We'd be growing in our faith. And He offers these things we looked at in verse 16, this comfort, this hope, this grace, so that we might be established. And I just want to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. The establishing that God wants to accomplish in our lives. This goes beyond the basics of the Christian life. Things like tithing, being faithful to church, witnessing, forgiving others. Those are what I would call the basics. This is God grounding us so that our faith is deep. So that when the trials do come, we're ready. When we get attacked, we're ready. Because our faith is grounded in Jesus Christ. And God wants this for each of us. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and we'll see this. God wants to establish us in every good word and work. And my question this morning is, are you established? Is your faith deep? You know, we meet people all the time, especially people like that come from the charismatic movement, where they never hear the word of God. They just have a lot of excitement and experience. Their faith is shallow. And when the trials come, they just fall away because they don't have anything to rely on. They don't even understand about the Holy Spirit comforting them and understand about the Word of God and its power in their lives because they never read it. God wants us to be grounded. Look at Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's obviously first, we must receive Him, so walk ye in Him. Look what it says in the next verse. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. So yes, God wants us to receive Christ, but that's just the beginning. Then He wants us to walk in Christ and He wants us to be rooted and built up in Christ. That takes time. That's called spiritual maturity. And that's what God wants for all of us. If you look at Hebrews 5 quickly, God explains this from the perspective of His Word. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, that God's goal for each of us is that we be established, that we be grounded in our faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, they had been drawn aside by some false doctrines because they weren't grounded like they needed to be. And Paul said to them in chapter 4, that we henceforth be no more children. In other words, I want you to grow up. Be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I want you to be grounded. I want you to be established so when these every wind of doctrines come by, you're ready. You can handle them. God wants to establish us in every good word and work. And He promises to establish us in His grace. And if you go to 1 Peter 5:10, he will explain that part of that process does involve trials, but God wants us established in the faith. Look at 1 Peter 5:10 just quickly. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." We all want to be established and strengthened and perfected and settled. Not so much the after that you've suffered a while. But that's part of the process. God's going to ground us. His goal is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ from Romans 8:29, but he often has to use the suffering to do it. He wants us to be established in every word, how we speak. The Bible tells us in Colossians 4 that our speech should be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That our speech should always be godly. And then the work part, he wants us to be established in our work as well. And the Bible tells us that by love we should serve one another. And that we should, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, bring thee be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And God gives us there, if you will, word and work, a good measure of how grounded we are. Is our speech always godly? And is our behavior always godly? Pretty good cross-check there, isn't it? That's what God wants for each of us. If you would look at Hebrews 13:9, won't look at that many more scriptures, but Hebrews 13:9, God promises that He will establish our heart with grace. Notice Hebrews 13:9, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Established with grace. The God of all grace, the God of all comfort, the God of all love, has already given us all that we need to be established. But the rest takes time. And it takes a willingness and a compliance on our part to let God do the work in our lives. And we've all met Christians. They've stopped going to church. They've stopped serving God. They've stopped reading their Bibles. What happened? They walked away from the process. They were tired of it. Maybe somebody offended them. Whatever. But they walked away from the establishing process that God was working in their lives. Now, God's going to bring them back. But oftentimes, that's kind of painful. Because He loves them, and He's going to do what's best for them. But God wants each one of us to be established. Where are you in your establishment, in your faith? Is every word that comes out of your mouth godly? Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You know, I meet people all the time that have a real problem with swearing. They just can't seem to get a victory over it. You know that's coming out of the heart? So Jesus said that it's a heart problem. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you can't solve that until you solve the heart problem. And most of these people are unsaved, so they need to be born again. Amen? You can't get victory until you get the heart fixed. And the heart can't get fixed until you're saved. But it's true for every aspect. Even as Christians, it's the heart that God wants established, so that what comes out in our behavior and in our words is godly. That's what it means when he says, "If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So what God is trying to do in each of our lives is little by little establish us, ground us, get us rooted in Christ so that we might have some deep roots, so that when the trials, which will come, when they come, we're ready. When the hurt comes, when the loss comes, we're ready. And we can weather those storms because the roots are deep. So where are you in your establishment? God wants to establish every believer in the faith. But as he said earlier, it all starts with being born again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, we read in Colossians 2:6. This message was aimed at people that are already born again. If you're not born again, that's first. You must, Jesus said, you must be born again. And if you are you allowing God, the God of all comfort, the God of all hope, the God of all grace, to establish you in your faith? Let's pray.